I'm on the phone with Harsha Walia, who is an activist and a member of No One Is Illegal in Vancouver. Thank you for being with us, Harsha.
You're welcome.
So, Harsha, you were active in Montreal a couple of years ago with the Pakistani refugees who were organizing here. And of course, we're doing this broadcast as part of a broadcast around the Solidarity Cross Borders March on Ottawa, but also to reflect on a lot of these self-organized refugee groups. So maybe you could do just that, reflect on the Pakistani community and the organizing that was happening here in Montreal when you were active with them.
Well, the Pakistani community was incredibly active, as people might remember, approximately 2 to 3 years ago. And one of the first cases that we organized around was Bilqis Fatma, who is an elderly Pakistani woman who was using a wheelchair and required dialysis multiple times a week, and she had been detained by immigration authorities because they considered her a flight risk. The woman couldn't, you know, couldn't even do anything beyond going to the hospital essentially every few days, and they considered her a flight risk. Essentially every year, 10,000 people go through the detention process. 10,000 people are deported every year, but also 10,000 people every year out of the approximately 60,000 people that attempt to make refugee claims in Canada are detained at some point or another, as Bilqis Fatma was. So that's when that organizing started. And I think one of the hard things about the Pakistani committee was that the Pakistani committee is the largest community, the largest refugee community, rather, in Montreal, and the rate of deportations was astounding. There was deportations every single day, and I think tangibly that meant a lot of different tactics in terms of how we organized around Pakistani deportations, because unlike the Algerians, for example, who all faced imminent deportations essentially at the same time when the moratorium was lifted, or Palestinian refugees who were essentially underground, most of them who are still underground, were, you know, they were able to build momentum together, whereas for the Pakistani refugees, people were facing deportation instantaneously, week after week after week. We had cases, and we organized around so many cases. I mean, I think the list of Pakistani deportees is the longest one that we have, because there were so many people we know in the struggle who were active and public against deportations in the Pakistani community. But at the same time, I think strategically and tactically, it was very hard to organize around that kind of casework. So that's one of the reasons that the Pakistani committee, for example, no longer exists in the form that it did 2 years ago.
Maybe just going back to that case of Bilqis Fatima that you mentioned. So the fact that this elderly woman who was on dialysis was detained by Immigration Canada, what kind of systematic problems about detentions does that reveal to you?
Yeah, well, it's actually good that you asked that question at this time, because as you know, the UN Working Group Against Arbitrary Detention was in Canada, and they actually released a press statement yesterday. And in No One Is Illegal Vancouver, we issued a statement, and we were asked to present submissions to them. And we essentially said that all immigrant detention is arbitrary and has you know, deep-seated, systemic-rooted fears of immigration, of migrants, and essentially inherently racist. And one of the biggest problems is obviously the fact that people are detained for no reason at all and on detention hold. One of the greatest catch-22s in the immigration or the refugee system is that, for example, when you're a refugee and you're being refused by the Immigration Refugee Board, and then you say, I don't want to be deported, I can't go back, and basically asserting your right as a refugee, they consider you a flight risk, like Bilqis, right? Bilqis basically spoke out against being deported and was considered then a flight risk, which made it possible for her to be detained. And that's what we see time and time and again. Whenever we go with people to immigration for appointments, or so many stories that we hear of people who assert their rights to be in this country, who assert their rights to seek asylum, assert their rights to have the right to live a life of dignity, getting detained without charge on detention hold. And that's fundamentally and systemically an issue around detention, that there's no reason for detaining people at all in this country, and yet we do it to 10,000 people every single year.
Another family, another case, but more than just a case, that we want to keep bringing up and mentioning is the case of the Akhtar family, Shamim Akhtar and her family, who were the direct inspiration for this march to Ottawa. You, of course, worked pretty closely with that family while they were in Montreal. Maybe you could just briefly explain to us or reflect on their situation and what happened with them.
Well, the Akhtar family were one of the most active families in the Action Committee and were active even before their deportation became imminent. They were active for at least 3 years before they were faced with deportation. And Shamim was one of the spokespeople for the Women's Committee, and Sadaf and Sadia were very, very active in advocating for the rights of the Pakistani refugees, but in general, speaking out against Citizenship and Immigration Canada and the death sentences that CIC hands down to people constantly with impunity. And in their situation, the more they fought back, the more CIC refused to budge, essentially, as we've seen time and time again with immigrant and refugees like Mohammed Sharfi, for example. People who are active, people who are passionate, people who are public get, you know, dealt with, as we know. People get dealt with, and there are consequences for people who speak out, and that's the culture of fear that people facing deportation and without status have to live with, and that's the system that this country has created for people, this invisible class of people who have no rights at all to assert themselves. And that's why the Solidarity Across Borders march and the organizing around the country is so inspirational, because there's so much force in numbers when we fight together and the refugees self-organize to fight against this and speak out against this. And Shamim Akhtar is currently in New York, and as we know, people without status get exploited by their employers all the time. One story I remember that Naeem, this is Shamim's partner, told me was that he worked for 1 week, he worked 6 days a week, and he worked from 3 a.m. in the morning in a farm processing fat, and he worked 11 hours a day. So he basically worked for 66 hours in that whole week and got paid $123. U.S. dollars. And basically when he got the job, the employer told him, well, you don't have papers and you can't go anywhere without papers, and you can't get a job without papers. You have no rights as a worker in this country without papers. Their situation is certainly not unique. So many other Pakistani refugees who have been deported to the U.S. face the same situation, and obviously people do in Canada as well, working underground, working with less than minimum wage and horrific conditions and absolute poverty. And that's the economy that this country and North America and all the settler states depend on.
And finally, with this march to Ottawa, of course, it's going between Montreal and Ottawa, but there's so much more to it than that. It in essence covers a lot more ground when we're talking about perhaps the battleground that this struggle against Immigration Canada is being fought on. And there are going to be solidarity actions happening across the continent, really, during this march on Ottawa. There will be one happening in Vancouver, being organized by No One Is Illegal there. So maybe you could just share with our listeners here what's going to be happening in Vancouver during the No One Is Illegal march on Ottawa.
What's going on in Vancouver is actually being organized by a growing network of immigrant organizations and groups and movements. There's about 12 groups from the Latino and the South Asian and the Chinese and the Japanese and the Iranian and the Palestinian community, and No One Is Illegal, that have been working together for a few months. And we're organizing a silent march called Status for All on June 26th. And it's essentially going to be a march, a silent march, to honor all of our friends and family and people and comrades that we've known and worked with that have been deported over the years. And it's a march to honor them and to remember them. So that's what's going on here. And also prior to that, we're going to be putting up the Canadian refugee camp, which is essentially a 600 square feet display of, and it's a historical timeline of all of Canada's past historic racist and exclusionary immigration policies and how those are similar to the current ones, for example, the Safe Third Country, and how it's extremely similar to past policies like the continuous journey, which affected the Kamagata Maru, which is a huge part of our history, a shameful part of our history, the Chinese head tax, the internment, and other such policies, and how nothing has changed much, although we like to think that it has, and talk about multiculturalism. So it's a way to debunk that myth of multiculturalism, rather.
We've been on the phone with Harsha Walia from Known as Legal in Vancouver.